Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 7, day 2 of the study of Genesis. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Genesis chapter 32. If you're enjoying this podcast and would like to grow in your understanding of God's Word even more, let me encourage you to check out the 10-Week Bible Series in print, available at Amazon.com. For easy links to those books, go to 10weekbible.com. That's the number 10weekbible.com. And you'll find those links there. You can also find them in the show notes on today's episode. All right, why don't you join me as we pray before we get started? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Speak to us. We want to know you. We want to encounter you through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. Today we'll be reading from the NIV. This is Genesis chapter 32, starting in verse 1. Jacob also went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is the camp of God." So he named that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. All right, pause there. Jacob meets these angels, and he has this confab with them, and it doesn't tell us what they said. Why? Why doesn't it tell us what they said? This is like one of those things where, you know, there's all of these supernatural encounters. The book of John does this so many times. There's so many times throughout scripture where it gives us this little snapshot. And you're like, wait a second. What happened? What did they say? What's going on here? There's, you know, sometimes in God's word, there's as much mystery. There's more questions than there are answers. And this is one of those. And I think as we go through God's word, it's helpful to always have our ears listening for this kind of stuff. We need to be paying attention here, because I think when it does things like this, it's very intentional. Like, why didn't it just leave this out? Why didn't it say, well, Jacob was going on? But it says that Jacob encounters these angels, but then it doesn't say what they said or what's going on. And it's as if it wants us to know, hey, there's more to this story. But that's not the important part. The important part is I was with him, and this is an important storyline in Israel's redemptive history and the world's redemptive history, that I'm like making it really hard for Jacob to screw this up, because I'm being really clear. He's sending these angelic messengers to encourage him and kind of send him on his way and help him. There's more to the story than what we're told. And it's important that we know that, not necessarily that we know what they said, but that God is the one directing the storyline. So many times in our own lives, we get in these places of doubt. And this is me for sure, but I know it's everyone. This is so common to mankind, is that we get into the throes of life where we're bogged down and just whatever we're doing. And sometimes it can be very difficult to see God moving in our lives. I've had many, many encounters with the Lord where it is undeniable for me to say that, you know, to wonder whether or not the Lord is really moving in my life, the Lord is really directing my path. Yet, because I'm a frail human, my emotions take me to that place far more often than I'd like to admit. And that is the nature of mankind, is we are so prone to thinking that God has forgotten about us. We're so prone to getting in these situations that could cause us fear. And Jacob is very afraid of meeting Esau. We're so prone to get in these situations and be like, Lord, where are you? Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you leading me? Even though all along this path, the Lord is like, I'm sending you home. I'm going to be with you. And Jacob's kind of like, probably, well, okay, I'll go home. But did you forget about Esau? Do you remember Esau? I mean, like, when the Lord says, go home, I'm going to take care of you. The Lord didn't forget about Esau. He remembered Esau, but it's still difficult. It's still difficult for Jacob, and it's difficult for us to fully trust the Lord, especially in places where we have some residual fear. I mean, a lot of times our fears may be warranted. They may be good fears to have, to some extent, but they should never supersede the word of the Lord or his direction in our lives. All right, verse 4. Jacob instructed them, "This is what you're to say to my lord Esau. Your servant Jacob says, 'I have been staying with Laban and have remained there till now. I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, male and female servants. Now I am sending this message to my lord that I might find favor in your eyes.' When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, 'We went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him.'" Verse 7, "In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and the herds and camels as well. He thought, 'If Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape.' Then Jacob prayed, 'O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me, "Go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I'm unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, "I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted." So Jacob, I mean, he's terrified. I mean, when he hears that there's 400 people coming with Esau, he's like, "Oh my gosh, that's a raiding camp. That's a raiding party. That's Esau's like army that he's coming to destroy me with because he's still so angry." And if you're Jacob, I mean, what Jacob has done to Esau is no small thing. And there are many, many families who have gone to the grave with, things against their brother far less than this. You know, this is a big deal, what Jacob did to Esau, and for him to forgive him is an equally big deal. And so Jacob is rightfully scared, but the Lord has spoken to Jacob multiple times. He just sent angels to encourage him. And again, we don't know what they said to him, but the fact that they came as he's going back to his land, this is a big deal. Angels just don't like happen in our lives. Angelic encounters, you know, it's not like they're on every page of the Bible. So, you know, if they're not recorded on every page of the Bible, then when they come, it's a really big deal. But yeah, he's falling into fear here, and he's splitting everything up, trying to figure out his escape route. Like, how am I going to get out of this if he starts attacking us? Verse 13, "He spent the night there, and from what he had with him selected a gift for his brother Esau, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows and 10 bulls, and 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. He put them in the care of his servants, each herd by itself, and said to his servants, 'Go ahead of me and keep some space between the herds.'" So just from there, you get a picture of how incredibly wealthy he has become. Because if this is just the gift, the token that he sent to Esau, this is huge. This is massive. 200 female goats. I mean, camels, these things are not cheap. Not today, not then. Verse 17, "He instructed the one in the lead, 'When my brother Esau meets you and asks, "Who do you belong to and where are you going and who owns all these animals in front of you?" Then you're to say, 'They belong to your servant Jacob. They're a gift sent to my lord Esau, and he is coming behind us.'" So he's obviously trying to buy favor with Esau. Verse 19, "He also instructed the second, the third, and all the others who followed the herds. You are to say the same thing to Esau when you meet him. And be sure to say, 'Your servant Jacob is coming behind us.' For he thought, 'I will pacify him with these gifts I am sending on ahead. Later when I see him, perhaps he will receive me.' So Jacob's gifts went on ahead of him, but he himself spent the night in the camp." Verse 22, "That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford at the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak." When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said to him, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and as he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. This is one of the most fascinating and pivotal stories in the Bible. This is when, if you will, the nation of Israel is born. I mean, God gave him this name. God changes his name to Israel. Now, this part about where Jacob says, you know, I saw God face to face and lived, this is a challenging thing for a lot of people. I don't think that he saw God the Father face to face. I think that this is an angel he's wrestling with, and this angel has come with this message. And this is very strange, is, you know, this angel wrestles with him all night. All night he's in this struggle. And this is so strange that they're fighting and they're wrestling. And Jacob, I think he's so full of fear, but he's a fighter. And he is fighting this angel off, maybe not even going understanding what's going on at first. But by some point, he understands this is an angel. And he keeps fighting with him. And now we see that he's like, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." And he's got this angel kind of locked up, locked down, won't let him go. And, you know, at any point in this whole process, I mean, we see how easy it was for the angel just to tap him on the hip. And that sends Jacob into such massive pain. He hits the ground and the angel's like done. You know, at any point, the angel could have done this. At any point, this could have happened. This was all very much by design. And the angel even says, you know, "You've struggled with God and you've struggled with man, with humans, and you've overcome." I don't think this is really talking about Jacob's physical strength. Again, if the angel had wanted to end this at any point, if God had wanted this to end, this is such a minor thing. Like, he could have touched his hip. He could have, I mean, what if the angel just punched him in the face? I mean, my goodness, this could have ended so easily. The Lord's making a point here for Jacob. The Lord is making a point to Jacob. And, I think the point here is, you know, in a spiritual sense, in a mental sense, this fortitude that Jacob has decided for himself that he's going to serve the Lord. He's going to be obedient to the Lord, even if that obedience sometimes is slow. Remember, he didn't leave Laban's house when the angel told him to in the dream. You know, when the Lord told him to in the dream, he stole Esau's birthright. You know, he's got issues, and he's not always been on the cutting edge of obedience. But in the end, he's been obedient to what the Lord's told him to do. I think Jacob, in a lot of senses, this is a powerful moment, and the Lord is giving him this new name. Because even though, like I said, he hasn't been the quickest to respond to the Lord, he's most definitely responded. Revelation tells us that when we meet God, he's going to give every single one of us who've been redeemed by him a new name. Every single person that's going to enter into the eternal city, every redeemed saint will get a new name. And this new name is something powerful, because so many of us, we live under the pressure that our old name carries, because people remember us and they remember sometimes the things that we've done that we're not proud of. And that's attached to our name. And here the Lord is saying, I'm giving you a new name because this is a new start for you as you come back into this land. And I think in eternity, the Lord is going to say, I'm giving you a new name. So you have a fresh start on the other side of eternity. Names are powerful and important. And being able to be blessed with this new name, I think that's going to make Jacob a new man as he crosses in to Israel. And this the redemptive purposes that God has for Jacob, that he has for Israel, they're going to begin to become manifest. We're going to read of prophecies. They're going to be very specific thousands of years before they're going to happen. God's redemptive plan is at work, and it's already beginning, and this name change is going to accelerate that on the world stage. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. As always, I do appreciate when you leave a review or pass this along via email to anyone else you know. It really does help get the word out there. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.